The vendors, they know how much work goes into the back of it. They don't.
Absolutely.
They see us on the grounds there. They don't see you as much doing the heavy lifting and things,
right.
Even though you do way more behind the scenes.
But you guys are out there. And I think they also, again, we like to make a big deal that, you know, you're part of the KU football team and stuff like that. So it's almost like a local celebrity walking through. But you're right. You guys are really the guts, the blood, sweat, and tears of the festival. So they like to reward you. And I'm glad for that. So that's good.
Definitely. We definitely get hooked up the week of the festival. So can you talk a little bit about the quilt auction? I know that's very famous. It happens annually, and the significance around that.
Yeah. So the quilt barn itself is a 7,000 square foot building that we transform into a quilt sale. And we use, I think, 20 feet tall of cattle fencing to display thousands of quilts. And they're all for sale. So it's not a quilt show. It's quite a process. There's judges that come in secret to judge the quilts. We set aside certain ones that we think are prize-winning quilts. There's a total of 24 of those, and they're judged. And you know, there's a grand prize, first, second, third, and then 20 that are judges' honor. And so, once we assign those 24 prize-winning quilts, those are on display in the quilt barn the whole week until the auction, which is the last Saturday. This year it'll be on July 6th at noon on the main stage. You have to register to bid. It's a live auction. And our setup guys carry each quilt out onto the stage, and it's on display, you know, for the whole audience to see. And then we have an auctioneer who actually starts the auction and starts the bidding. It's a moneymaker for our quilters. You know, they get the what's called the reserve, which is the price that they are asking for the quilt. And then anything above that is split between the festival and the quilter. So we always make sure our quilters are taken care of monetarily. But the stories behind the quilts are really cool. This year's prize-winning quilt, top prize, was done by a Mennonite woman up near Erie, kind of a poor area. And her husband said, you know, I know this is your dream to get a quilt sold or, you know, in the auction there. I will take over all the house duties for you for 1 year to get your quilt done, which is kind of unusual in that situation. So she did. She quilted for a year, and she won. She won top prize, so she got $500 plus, you know, additional money at the auction. But they actually said that that money was like going to feel like $1 million to them because of, you know, it's a big deal, and she was just so honored. So I think when we tell the stories behind how the quilts were made, how many stitches, you know, all that stuff, people are like, "Whoa, I have to have that." So years ago, I can't think of what year it was off the top of my head, but the most expensive quilt that ever was sold at auction was $15,000. Someone paid that, and he was a collector, and he bought one for $15,000, which is a lot of money for a quilt. But, you know, apparently it was absolutely amazing. And I think they're all amazing. I walk in there, and I'm just like, I can't believe people can do what they do. So,
right.
Yeah. So it's a big deal. We really pump that up. And, you know, our quilters are so important to us. And we really preserve their privacy. We don't reveal their names or anything like that. It's a very interesting operation in there.
Well, I didn't see that coming.
Boy, was my face really
red. That was delicious.
Gosh, that's swell.
Please stand by.
Please listen carefully.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're enjoying this episode of the SBDC podcast. Now, if you are a small business owner or work at Kutztown University and would like to become a guest on the very podcast, you can contact us at azawo231@live.kutztown.edu. azawo.edu. Again, that is azawo231@live.kutztown.edu. Now, back to the show.
Right, and I know we mentioned that they're put up on cataracts that we put up, but I will say they are preserved, and those cataracts are powder coated, cleaned, stored in a very clean, dry place.
Yes.
Like, because I mean, if you really have to see it to understand the significance behind it,
it's true,
and how much goes into these quilts, and
you can't believe it. Yeah, right.
And you walk around the barn, and I've gone in there with my family, and it's almost overwhelming.
It really is. You're right. And I think it's just, I can't sew a button on, you know, if I need a button, I get a new shirt, but like, I just am blown away by what they can do. And some of them are by hand, you know, and the colors and, you know, how they were inspired, because, you know, our quilt director, she has an amazing background, but she, you know, she's looking for ones that are original, because you can't copy a design. Like, there's just so many aspects that go into it that I think is just really neat. So if somebody can't just show up with like a quilt that was passed down to them and been sitting in their closet, you know, and want to sell it there, it's pretty strict process, and people just love it there. And it's air conditioned in there, so it's the only place in the festival that's air conditioned.
That's right. And I know the quilt barn is definitely a spot that we go to hang out sometimes.
Yes.
But they get plenty of help in there from the community too.
Oh, yeah. We have a big crew that works in there.
Right. I know. I remember going in there they always get us lunch and things like that, because they take care of us as we take care of them. But super nice people in there. I remember going in there and talking to a guy that, like, as you mentioned, a lot of us were football players or involved with the football team in some way. And he said to us, oh, like, are you guys on the football team, whatever? Yeah. And he goes, by the way, do you live over on like Normal Street? And we're like, yeah. And he goes, I know where you guys live. You live right next to my aunt.
Oh, and, that's cool.
And we were like, really? And he's like, yeah, she talks about you all the time.
Aww,
like, you guys are great.
Sweet.
And then, like, we start talking with some of these other women and men who are in there. And they're like, oh, yeah, I'm from the town over in Fleetwood, or I live up the street.
Yeah.
And that's really, they bring in a lot of people every year and a lot of the local community. And that's how another way that you guys get engaged.
Absolutely. And the quilts have been part of our history for so long. And, like, some people, like myself, I would go in there just to look, you know, just because I, like, amazed by them. But there's also people who come in and buy 5 or 6 quilts at a time. And, you know, the minimum price is usually around $600 to $700. Low, you know, that's the low price. But when you consider all the work that goes into them, I mean, that's really a bargain, you know, when you think of all the hours and time. And some people work on them for years. And then we also have quilters right there in the quilt barn who are making a quilt that goes, is called the charity quilt. So that's the first one that gets auctioned off, and they pick a charity that those proceeds go to. So again, it's another aspect of giving back to the community that supports us. So
right.
Yeah. I know. I think it was Randy that you were talking about, one of our guys that works in there. And I know you guys came in and moved a bunch of cases of water, but whoever did it picked them all up at the same time. And Randy goes, I could have done that in my younger days. And his wife works in there. She goes, no, you couldn't. But you guys just like picked them up and took off. And he's like, okay, you know.
Yeah. Our buddy Earl, he could probably pick up.
Earl probably did it.
Pick up the ox himself and move it in there.
Right.
Yeah, they've, like I said, they take care of us, but we do a lot of work with them.
They're good cooks in there. They bring lots of good lunches and food. Yes, they
definitely
do.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, like, a lot of the quilts are more expensive, but they're handmade.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I know when we walk through, we look at some of the prices, and talking with the people who work in there and Barry, who's been at the festival for years, and we kind of ask, like, do people really want a quilt for this much money, sometimes like thousands of dollars to put on their bed? And Barry goes, oh, people don't put that on their bed. That's like a piece of art.
It
and
is.
They're like, you know what? You're right. Because really look at it and you think about how much goes into it.
Right.
And it is a piece of art.
They hang them up. They put them, in fact, I think the person that bought that did the $15,000 quilt, I think from what I understand, lived in a big city and had it hanging like in a loft, you know, because it was like a statement, you know, piece. But Yeah, I would be so afraid, like I'd spill something on it or whatever if I had it at home. But yeah, they're just, and some people just collect them. They like to, you know, have a collection of them. So,
right.
Yeah.
So I know over the past few years, the Fresh Fest has mm-hmm. been added. That was one of the things that you added to the festival when you came in. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think we did that in conjunction with, you know, our whole freshening up the festival, which included a new logo and a new look. You know, we did a new website, a new logo, new marketing materials. And one of the things we had heard in comments through the years were, and especially nowadays where people have like gluten-free allergy, you know, different allergies or conditions, or they're searching for something vegetarian or vegan, we wanted to have something that was a little different food-wise. So as much as we love like the ribbon fries and the funnel cakes and stuff, not everybody can eat that. So we wanted to have an area where we maybe offered something just a little different. And that's why we did Fresh Fest. We just thought maybe offer some different type of vendors, some, you know, different food vendors, but then also maybe even some different craftsmen and stuff over there. So that's on the College Boulevard side of the festival, kind of like in a grassy, tree shady area. And it's been pretty popular. We have a little sitting area in the grass where people can hang out. We had a stage there the past couple years where we had some people, some musicians. We also had people painting hex signs, and Hawk Mountain that was there with a raptor. We've had all different kinds of things there. So it's just kind of a funkier, different aspect of the festival to address maybe some people, some younger folks who might be like, I don't know if I want to go to a Pennsylvania Dutch festival, but I'd go there for rural city beer. Or, you know, I'd go there to try that, you know. And once they get in the door, then they're like, oh my gosh, this is really a neat place. And look at all the cool stuff that we have. And, you know, maybe they weren't familiar with Pennsylvania Dutch cultural aspects before that, but they're there, they're having a good time, they're, you know, enjoying themselves and not, and they're absorbing that culture. So that gets them in the door. I'm happy about that, you know?
Right. And as you mentioned, that brings in a younger crowd, including, I know our first year at the festival, my parents came up, my roommate's parents came up with his family.
Right.
My aunt came up along with my family because they came because we worked there and they wanted to see us all summer. They hadn't really seen us too much.
Right.
But like you said, they walked through the Fresh Fest part of the festival. They went, stopped and got the dough pizza from the wood fire oven, baked pizza. Yeah. Then they went over and stopped at 8 Oaks. They saw Barry, who's up in that festival.
Yep.
And then you make your way down and you kind of see the more history side of things as you go around the loop. You see the schoolhouse, the covered
church,
bridge, the country kitchen,
all
more of the cultural side of things. And then you get more into the food section and the quilt barn. And after they were finished, they kind of said that, like, I never would have really voluntarily came to a Pennsylvania Dutch festival. But now that I've done it once because we came to see you guys, it was like a blast.
Right.
They stopped and did the pet goat snuggling.
I took, my mom is 77, and I had to finally like drag her out of there. I'm like, Mom, this is for the kids, you know. She was like all about the goats, but yeah, like you're right. And it you know, if that, and that's okay, you know, if there's a reason why people want to come, maybe it's one specific reason, but then they're like, oh my gosh, look at everything else, and then they're kind of immersed in it. That's what we want, you know, because we want younger people. We want this tradition to continue, you know, so.
Right. And I would definitely say that as working there in the past 2 years, obviously, people say that. They walk by when we're sitting up at Barry's booth or something up in the shade.
Yeah, in the shade.
But they will say that, like, it's almost like a fresh face on the festival because that is a way that a lot of people take up into the whole fairgrounds where it's located.
Right.
And they get to see all of that new kind of a facelift of the festival. And then they also get to see the history side of it.
Well, and it was really super, super, super important. You know, even though, you know, when I took this position, the idea was to, you know, kind of not reinvent the festival, but kind of freshen it up. But along with that, you know, I would never want to take away from that history part, the historical aspect, because that would be very disrespectful to all the people who have done this for so long and who put, you know, they dedicate their life to that, to making that festival run. And so it's not like we want to turn it into a carnival or, you know, we want to always honor that Pennsylvania Dutch tradition, but just sometimes find a new way to do it. So, you know, we still want to have craftsmen who still do things like the old, with old skills that, you know, our ancestors use, but maybe they're making a really funky looking bowl instead of something more traditional, you know, but they're still using those old skills. So along with Fresh Fest, you know, we didn't want to get too far away from what we are, but just offer some new things in a different way. Right. And yeah, it's a cool area. It's nice and shady. It just, you know, it's, and you're right, that's a big area where people come in. So as they're walking up, I mean, last year we had a coffee vendor who was serving, she's young vendor, but serving shoe fly pie flavored ice cream. So people were like, oh my gosh, what's shoe fly pie? What is that? I gotta have this iced coffee, you know? So it was really neat, you know, to just see things twisted just in a kind of a different way. So
right, and as you said, it is a good balance between new and while keeping tradition,
because
while the Fresh Fest is newer with some new vendors, new types of things to the festival, there's also one of the first things you see is old time tractors and antique tractors.
Exactly, you hear that noise, you know, from them and those gentlemen who are there, you know, explaining the equipment and stuff, and then, you know, like Trey wood-fired pizza. I don't know that our ancestors were eating pizza necessarily, but they were cooking on open fire, you know, and he has a pizza oven with open fire and he's using local ingredients, locally grown, you know, vegetables and products that are grown in our backyard. So I think same with Eight Oaks Distillery, you know, they probably didn't have all the cool flavors that Eight Oaks has now, but they're also using local ingredients. They, I believe, have a farm right where they are, where they're, you know, harvesting stuff that they're using in their drinks. So I think that's, it's still part of our history, but in a new way.
Right.
Well, I didn't see that coming. Boy, was my face really
delicious.
Gosh, that's swell.
Please stand by.
Please listen carefully.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're enjoying this episode of the SBDC podcast. Now, if you are a small business owner or work at Kutztown University and would like to become a guest on the very podcast, you can contact us at azawo231@live.kutztown.edu. Again, that is azawo231@live.kutztown.edu. Now, back to the show.
And I know we talked about how the festival affects the Kutztown local community, but also I know, like we mentioned, Eight Oaks, the wood-fired pizza, Rural City, all from that Fresh Fest festival. But Barry Benikoff, the Country Carpenter, all these craftsmen and vendors and all these things, they also go back to their places, and people go and visit them from the local areas.
Absolutely, it's a great. Some people launched, you know, their business, or, you know, grew their business from being at the festival because it's just, you know, having that exposure that they wouldn't have normally gotten. So we're thrilled with that. You know, even if they decide not to come back because they got busy, that's great for them, you know. And people will also be like, hey, I may not buy something from Barry while I'm here, but I'll order something, you know, I want to order from this person or order from that person. So We want all of our vendors to be successful at the festival, but beyond that too. So,
right.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I can attest that we've gone up to Rural City Brewing.
Yeah, exactly. I would like to get there because I heard, well, I didn't get to have any of their beer this time, but they did very, very well. And they actually, you know, kind of, they went with the look. They, you know, had hay bales and a wood shelf over there, like top, to make it look like a bar. And it, but it was like kind of rustic, and they were next to another distillery, so it was a fun time, and I think it gets people in the mood to have it, enjoy themselves, and then to continue to walk through. I think then they're really surprised, like, oh my gosh, all this is just around the corner, you know, wow, this is really neat. So
right,
it's 5 acres to cover, it's a lot.
Right. But, I mean, you do a great job, obviously, of filling it out.
We try.
Of having things. But like you mentioned, like, people with these small businesses, by being just at the festival for those 9 days, someone might walk by, take a glance. I know there's a wildlife painter in there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Beautiful painters. Yeah.
Oh, yes. And might just walk by, take a glance at something and say, that's kind of cool, but not right now. And then eventually they order things. I know Barry talks about how he gets orders for furniture all throughout the year. And then obviously the local vendors and distilleries, people who didn't really know who they were by them coming to the festival.
Absolutely.
You go back to those people because the product you had was so good, and that's obviously another way of how the festival is supporting the local businesses.
And we love that. We love to hear those stories. And it's very common for us to get an email or a message on Facebook or Instagram saying, hey, I was at your festival 5 years ago, and I bought this from this vendor who was on this area. Do you know that person's name? And we'll try and find out, because they're like, I really want to order one of their chairs, or I really want to get in touch with them. They had the best jelly, or, you know, whatever it might be. And we're happy to do that because, you know, I'm like, hey, what could it have been this person? I'm like, yeah, that's the one. So again, it's those long-term relationships that, and also people come, they're like, these are the five vendors I need to see, you know, where are they, you know, and they have their tried and true people that they want to visit every year. So that's why it's always sad when one of them retires, because we're like, oh, you know, but hopefully we had really good applicants this year. So we have some new people joining in this year. So we feel good about them.
Right. That's awesome. I know we talk about our local community around here, but it's also, as you mentioned, nationwide. We get vendors from nationwide. I know Sassy everywhere. Comes up from Georgia every year.
Wisconsin. We've had people from Florida. And a lot of those people are professional vendors where we're on a circuit that they do throughout the U.S., you know, where they know that they're going to hit the Strawberry Festival in Florida. Then they're going to, you know, eventually come up to us and then go to the next festival. So they have a very, very hard job. I mean, that's a hard life, and they work so hard. And really all of our vendors, you know, we say it's 9 days, 9 to 6 each day, but it's way more than that. They work all year long trying to get enough product to sell. You figure, you know, 40 to 50,000 people coming through, they need to have a lot of stuff to sell. Then they, you know, construct their booth, they staff it. It's a lot of work. So, we appreciate that so much.
Right. So, finally, how can people support or get involved with the Kutztown Folk Festival?
Well, we have sponsorships available. We have various levels of sponsorship. So we do go after businesses, not just necessarily local businesses, to seek sponsorship support. So that's available. That packet is available on our website. They can work at the festival. We have all of our applications on our website and volunteer. Years ago, we used to have a lot more volunteers than we do now, because I think people have that's just sort of changed. There's not a lot of volunteer time available. But all that's available on our website, which is kutztownfestival.com. Those things would really help support us. And the dates this year is June 29th to July 7th, and it's 9 to 6 each day.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Hopefully another good year there.
No rain. Last year was, we had a bad year with that, but the year before that, the weather was perfect. So we're hoping for good weather this year.
Right. Even though it rains sometimes, you still stay open now. We have over 100 tents on the property.
Buildings, pavilions. You can get dry for a while. The beer garden. You know, there's always places to go. So,
right. Well, this has been awesome, Heather. Thank you again for coming on.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And make sure to get out to the Kutztown Folk Festival.
Thank
and what are the dates again? June 29th?
To July 7th.
Yep. Awesome.
Thanks.
All right. Awesome, Heather. Thank you again.
Thank you.